Intertextual Cardboard Experience.
Hello, and welcome to Intertextual Cardboard Experience, and welcome to the first Intertextual Cardboard Experience Summer Solstice. And I Googled this, and I couldn't find anything for board games. I even typed in Summer Solstice and board games, and got nothing. So I might have to Hans and Gluck this one and make sure that it's not stolen. Just kidding. But anyway, I did see some things about biking for the phrase, so I didn't make it up. But in terms of board games, I think this is a unique thing. Maybe some hashtags exist out there that I didn't find, but nothing popped up. This might be like a yearly thing. I really like this idea. The summer solstice is... I love summer. I'm definitely a summer person, and that date holds some, personal and sentimental like value as well. Well, obviously the summer solstice changes a little bit from year to year, but a particular one on the 20th, which was what it was this year too, does. And here we are. So kind of want to celebrate, and I'm a big solo gamer. Now, that talk has probably come out a decent amount in some previous episodes, but I definitely haven't talked about it too much. So, we'll see. Maybe I'll kind of like take this idea of summer solstice and turn it into something else. But I like the idea. I like the name. And linking some topics for today's discussion to that as well. The idea of like doing things by yourself. And if I get a little distracted, it's because there are some fireworks going off right now, probably in celebration of this episode for certain. So in my office, I can kind of hear some of the fireworks in the background. You're getting random personal anecdotes, which I wasn't really planning on talking about, but the fireworks are definitely a bummer a bit too, because I have a dog that has three legs, and his one leg was missing because he was, shot at and hit and had to get it amputated. And he is quite terrified of fireworks. But, I'm in the office. He's in the living room right now, and I was just out there before this as the fireworks were going off, and I had made a pretty strong white noise chamber with a little AC unit, some fans, and a white noise machine. So things are quite quiet out there, so that's good stuff. But his name's Lou. He's a great dog. Okay, so anyway, if you couldn't tell by the fact that I didn't introduce anyone, and that I've been talking for a minute already, or the fact that this is another titled vodcast episode. This is another vodcast. Just me. I didn't necessarily think that one of these was going to pop up, but, things pop up, and I want to keep the show rolling. The purpose of this is just to give me mini breaks and, well, not necessarily mini breaks, scheduling things, life, et cetera, and... There are the two episodes, which were awesome before this. Both of them were kind of like linked. Well, both of them were linked to art. And before that was the last vodcast I did. So I thought there was going to be a little bit longer stretch. But I think, again, that there's going to be a longer stretch of none of these, or at least none taking the place of a kind of like the regular biweekly episode for some time. For a little bit. I've got a lot of awesome guests that I've been in communication with, so zero fears whatsoever. I'm just working some things out and getting those conversations going and thinking about them and doing other things in order to make them happen, because, one of the things that I kind of have to do in order to have some of these conversations is, playing certain games or watching certain things in order to have the conversations I want to have, and then also coordinating with those particular people and just making it happen. But like I said, no real fear, just no fear whatsoever. and we'll get going with this too. I'd love for you to stick around with a little ramble here, and I do think that it's going to be a little bit littler than normal, because I'm going to drop a little bit of a twist on myself right now, and that's that I'm giving myself a solo podcast challenge in the spirit of the summer solstice. Obviously, the focus is going to be on different things solo, you know, solo board games, and also just doing anything solo. And then there are going to be a couple other kind of offshoot types of topics linked to this overall idea, for the most part. A lot of solo games, a lot of solo board games, just have that beat your own score type of challenge with tiers. I could do something like that. I'm just going to go pass fail, straight up. 35 minutes and under, I win. Otherwise, I lose. I could definitely overscript and edit this episode, but I kind of treat them like self-interviews, where I come up with these questions. I think about them for a bit, too. Maybe jot down some notes so I don't forget them, but on the whole, they're not really scripted or anything like that. Maybe some of the questions and things like that, but I could do that. I could edit it and make it quicker, make sure that I win, but I'm just going to go for it and see what pops up. And more so, you know, I want to be able to come up with other questions during the course of this, and just things that I think about, because that has led to some ideas and things that I'm thinking about and topics for future episodes as well. So after these words, I will add the retroactive future me note saying whether I passed or not. So fingers crossed that I pass. You'll find out soon. I will find out in some indefinite amount of time when I'm done talking.
All right. If it's not evident by looking at the overall time, I did fail, but I did chop a little bit of time off from the last two, which was part of the goal. So I guess kudos to me on that, and to give myself a little bit of an excuse, but I kept having these little asthma coughing things popped up. So technically I actually did have to go back and edit those out, because I was talking and then I would have to pause because I couldn't breathe, and then I was coughing and I chopped it out, but it kind of derailed my thought, which, if you couldn't tell, I don't need my thoughts derailed, but it is what it is. So for my solo challenge, it was a fail, but it was a valiant effort, and maybe I'll make the next one.
In order to make this faster, I definitely have to speed through some parts, of course. I always go through the quick notes on appreciation then request, so I'll do that. Thanks so much for listening. If you're listening to this, that is the number one way that you can support me. I see the number of listens, and just kind of seeing all over the world where people are tuning in. And I know that most of that is for the episodes with particular people, for sure. That's what this podcast is about. But if you're listening now, you know that I appreciate you. And even if you're not listening, somehow this gratitude gets extended to you. If you can share, per usual, if you think somebody else might gain something from some of the conversations that I've been having, they like a particular designer or artist or, you know, whoever I've been chatting with, forward this on to them. Comments, ratings, reviewings on the different platforms would be awesome as well. Social media, I post, or at least at the bottom of the episodes, I do have some social media stuff. The Twitter is more show related. The Instagram is kind of personal, and I know that my social media stuff is not generally a ton, but I like going on there and just liking what other people are doing as well, the things that they're writing and making. And at least for Instagram, I made a couple posts on the more personal one in the past couple of weeks, and they were linked to the show and just my one cat, Mac, who's a little gamer nerd buddy with me, so he's turbo cute, and there's a picture on the Instagram of him. So if you don't follow either, check them out. You'll get game stuff, personal stuff, cat stuff, depending on which one that you're clicking on. I think the TikTok's linked. If it's not, I will link it. There was a singular TikTok. I mentioned this in one of the podcasts. It's really goofy, intentionally so. The purpose of that is just to add things to bring people to this. And I think it's funny. I've got another one coming. So if you check out that TikTok and you see the singular video on there, a second one is coming the night of this release. So podcast Monday morning, video Monday night. And I mentioned it before, the TikTok is something that I also want to work towards a kind of weird project with as well. But yeah, down the line, when that happens, I'll definitely make it more known. The buy me a coffee thing, I've mentioned it a few times, that's there. Equipment, things to help with the podcast for sure. Out of necessity, just bought a new webcam and I'm looking at myself through that. I'm on the Zoom call with myself. I don't think I need to be looking at myself, but I am. Just kind of checking out the new webcam and all that. And it's nice. It works. And I just need one because the other one is gone forever. And like I said, any support, you know, the Zoom subscriptions and other things that can help out with the show. Feedback form and giveaway. The end of this episode will fully detail what's being given away for this episode, but there is another one and it's happening now. So you can click on the form, do the feedback form, and well, at the end of the episode, you'll find out what it is that you could be entering in. And I think people will be pretty interested in the games that are being offered up in this VOD, offloading lightly played games, or whatever the acronym I made for it last time was. So stay tuned for that. All right. Also, in order to chop down from some time, I was going to go in on all these solo games that I have a lot of plays on and just kind of like describe why I had a lot of plays on some and a lot of another. But let's just say that one of my most played solo games, and this is kind of the feature game of the episode, and I don't really know if it's has a huge link to the theme or message of this episode, but I just wanted to shout it out. I'm a big fan of it, and that game is Rove, or Rove : Results Oriented Versatile Explorer, designed by Dustin Dobson and Milan Zivkovic, with art by the both of them as well, which is really cool. The art kind of going on from the last couple episodes is really cute in this one, and I like it. So that is the featured game. Also, published by Button Shy Games. And if you've listened before, I did have Steven Aramini on the show, who designs a good number of games for Button Shy Games, co-designs for the Opolis games, Sprawlopolis, Naturalopolis, Agropolis, and others as well, Circle Wagons, and so on. And technically, if we're backtracking a little bit, those three, Sprawlopolis, Agropolis, and Naturalopolis, are probably my most played solo game if we added up the plays for that. But Rove is up there. And the thing that I kind of wanted to just talk about with Rove is something that I've mentioned a few times, and that's just with the ability to take a break with a solo game. So I think, you know, solo games, and I'll get into this in a little bit, can be a lot of different things for a lot of different people, even if you don't think that they can be. And like I said, I'll touch on that in a bit. But, you know, even when I feel like I can't pull out a game that's going to take 20 minutes to set up, an hour and a half to play, and then another, you know, 10 minutes to pack up, or I don't have time to pick up my room to use the table that I could keep a game out on, or whatever it might be, and I just want to take a break. I think the idea of like a screen break is always good. I mean, I do other things to try take breaks from screens. I'm not constantly plugged in or anything like that. But in terms of just kind of like having that free time and doing a little brain puzzly thing, these button shy games on the whole are really, really good for that. And I think Rove is one that is quite puzzly. So if you're into, like a solo puzzle with movement and space, both in regards to the setting of the game, which comes across pretty well. You go on this little adventure. It's not, as some people would say, quote unquote, thematic, but the art and what you're doing and kind of like the gears and the movement of modules and movement points. I don't know, just kind of makes a quite a bit of sense. So if that sounds, sorry. So if the like a solo puzzle, something that is a little brain twisty to be as efficient as you can be, I don't think it winds up making your brain get too twisted. Sounds up your alley. Definitely check it out. And the thing about this game too is that it reminds me of something that I had when I was young. So here's another random personal anecdote, but there was a one of those book fairs where they would cart in a bunch of books on the different displays, and I would always get, at least a couple books. That was one of my favorite things to do as a kid. But I also remember one year I bought this little puzzle game thing, and it used to actually be by me in this office. I'm just kind of like sitting around looking, which I'm stalling and wasting time, and I cannot afford to do that. But nonetheless, what you do with it is you had all these different pieces, and you'd kind of like want to have this red piece that had a particular helmet on it bounce off of all the robots and finish in the center spot. And it was a very solvable thing. So there wasn't like a ton of randomness, but you had increasing level of difficulty for these puzzles. Actually, kind of one of the Pokemon games does something like this, where you're kind of sliding on the ice and you keep moving until you hit something. Very similar in premise to that. And Rove reminds me of that, but it also winds up being a lot more dynamic due to the random nature of the movement cards, where the modules are at, and that coil. Let's just put it this way: that blue coil, if you're going to lose because you have to like move these modules in different ways. So I haven't explained the game super well. I would say definitely check out a little gameplay video. You could watch anyone on YouTube and figure out what's going on in a matter of minutes if you're unfamiliar with the game. But you have these six modules and you have mission cards, but the mission cards are also two-sided. So the one side will have a particular layout of what the modules or how they need to like be connected in front of you, and the other side is the movement points. And there's some wrinkles. I won't go into the weeds there. And there's expansions that change it up as well. And I've actually played most expansions, which is kind of weird because I don't necessarily always do that with my button shy games. But I've integrated them in different ways and enjoy them too. But the modules have different ways in which they can move in order to get them into the particular spots or this layout. And there is one of the modules on each mission card that needs to be in a set spot, and the other five just kind of need to be around it in the blank space that is in the layout of that mission card. And you have like movement and certain number depending on the card. And that's really about it. But the coil piece is one that, in order to move, it has to jump over at least a piece. All your cards need to be connected. So obviously when a card is moving, it's not going to be connected in the space, but it's going to kind of like latch on at the tail end. So you kind of have to think about the ways in which you are moving the pieces so that maybe another piece that you weren't thinking about having to move, you might need to move that one first so it doesn't get unlinked from these connections of these modules. Very, very clever. I really couldn't gush about this one too much more. And I think I mentioned it in the last episode, but my button shy game of choice just for an even quicker puzzle had been Food Chain Island, because that one is even faster and maybe doesn't have quite as the brain burny feel of Rove, but that one's good and clever too. This one is the one that if you had like 20 minutes to play as opposed to, you know, 7, and you're ready to play this one, then it gets my recommendation. The Intertextual Cardboard Experience Ice stamp. Perfect. That's the start of the solo talk, and let's kind of move on to just some other mini thoughts based on that. So, you know, I like playing solo games. I think, you know, plenty of people that enjoy solo games like them for similar reasons. They like them for different reasons. A big reason that you might want to play a solo game is because it's a game that you want to play and you know that nobody else is going to play it with you. Obviously, there are certain types of games that don't work in that way. One of the things that I don't mind doing at all, and it's kind of funny, it was one of my early purchased micro badges on Board Game Geek, is these two faces looking at each other, and it just says, I'm my own worst enemy. I play multiplayer games solo. And it's kind of funny because I think that a lot of games that people would dub multiplayer solitaire or parallel play, some people don't like those terms. I'm just kind of saying what they have been coined as, do work pretty well for playing against yourself. Things with like hidden information or negotiation or bluffing or that, just different levels of interactivity. Obviously, I don't think work quite as well. Sometimes I might do a few turns in something like that in order to just kind of learn the basics. If I feel like it's something that I really do want to teach to other people, and just to get it down in order to help with that initial set of instructions for them. But, you know, some of these games that I have, and this isn't a note on my collection too much, but, you know, something like Trois, a game like Trois, I've played, I'm pretty sure, at least 3 times in that way, where I've set up at least a couple of characters and played it. And, you know, there is some decent interaction in there, you know, depending on where you place, there can be blocking, timing considerations, and then obviously purchasing the dice from the other people. But I do feel as if that one, and the secret objectives, I do something different. I just play the secret objectives as public, and I know that takes away from a lot of the fun, just deducing what your opponents might be doing and trying to get, you know, certain achievements during the game because you think that's what they're going for. That is a cool part of the game, but that's not necessarily what draws me to it, or is the one that I think is what sticks out the most. I just really like the way that game plays. I'm a big fan. So, you know, I played that one multi-handed. The initial intent was to learn and hopefully teach others, but it's probably a little bit out of the wheelhouse of the groups that I'll typically play with, and that's fine. And it's sticking around, and it's kind of a hopeful, like, yeah, I would love to play this with other people, but I also know that I wouldn't mind bringing it out and just playing it multi-handed. And it's nice too, because I learned that way, and then I've been able to hop on Board Game Arena. It's a good game that works well asynchronously on Board Game Arena or live on Board Game Arena. And I do feel like games that you can play against yourself also are ones that work well pretty well on asynchronously. That's most likely not anyone's preferred way overall to play games, but I do think there are certain situations or contexts in which that might work well. So that is all to say that, I feel that where there's so many reasons where I might want to play a game solo, the heavier it gets, and I want to play everything. I want to play light games. I want to play medium weight games. I want to play heavy games. One of the things that I just like doing, and one of the reasons why I play so many different games is because I can play them, by myself. I can play multiple characters, especially in the types of games that work well for that. And I can figure out if it is something that is going to work well for my collection, something that is going to work well as a more aspirational, like, yeah, I can definitely do this alone, but I would love to play with other people, or it's just not for me, and that is completely fine too. But in that process, it's still just a really great experience. I there aren't many games that I dislike. So there are plenty of games that I have, owned and played and moved on from, given away, sold, whatever the reason or whatever the means of getting rid of it might be, that have been like really great, experiences for me still. Even if I know that it's just not my game, I could learn why it's not a game. I could also just kind of learn more about rule books. I could learn more about design as and just get introduced to more designers. That's one of the things that I want to do for the sake of this podcast. That's one of the things that I just want to do just for me. And the final topic of this episode is going to be about just kind of like starting things and doing things by yourself. And, I've definitely poked around with different design ideas in notes, in my head, even thrown together mini prototypey things. But I've also kind of just let them sit in that earlier stage and not push them from very early prototype to rule books, plays, getting other people to check them out then after that. So maybe a little bit of hesitation, defense mechanism-y things, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But on the whole, I think being able to play a whole bunch of games really, really helps with that. So yeah, I think I mentioned the idea of like heaviness. I in my slightly rushed state, I may have just hopped over that, but yeah, I've got a good amount of like chip theory games, some other war-ish solo games that or cooperative games that can be played solo well too, and just being able to experience those without needing other people is just a nice perk. And I know there are probably many reasons why people don't do solo gaming. People just really like People don't do solo gaming, and that's because people like the social elements of it. And I do too. I think that's kind of why some of my taste in games that I want to play with more than one person have moved away from a little bit of that, parallel play, multiplayer, solitaire thing, because I can do that on my own, and I want things to be a little bit more social and a little bit more interactive when I have that opportunity to play with other people. But some people just, that's what they're looking for. It's that in games. It's not the other things. And that makes sense. I think there's perhaps a little bit of a stigma about solo games. I think, well, I mean, we're in the board gaming hobby, presumably, if you're listening to this in any capacity. And, there's probably, stigmas or thoughts about the board game hobby a bit too. I'm not going to dive into that, but I think if you're going to say that you play game solo board games, you might get like a raised eyebrow, which is what it is. You might get people not understanding what that necessarily means, and that is also kind of the same deal. It is what it is. But, this is kind of moving into my final bit. But if you like want to do something, and I'm not trying to be preachy, not at all. But if you want to do something, do it, whether within reason. If you want to do something productive and positive, just go for it. I had a huge section on like DNF, like did not finish, and that was kind of linked to something that Liz Davidson had said. Mentioned it's all right to DNF something, and that's stuck on my mind since. And bringing up Liz is awesome because Liz just wound up getting a position as a solo specialist for later games, and that is super fantastic and great. Beyond Solitaire, Liz doing a lot of solo work, being the in-house specialist there. Perfect timing to call that out. So I was going to go into this bit about like DNF, like did not finish, maybe save it for a different time, and then also this idea of like DNS, did not start, and comparing the two of them. So maybe the differentiation of reasons why you might not finish something compared to why you might not start something would be a topic for a different one of these or a different one with guests in the future. Who knows? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But we're trying to be here for time and for speed. And I'm just going to think about that idea of, starting. So instead of kind of thinking about, I had a whole slew of reasons as to why you might not start something, we'll just end it on kind of linking it to that positive solo note. So again, if you want to, start something, really, really just go for it. So call back to another really early episode. John Cloudis. John is the first person that I reached out to when thinking about this podcast because I just fell in love with small box games and played them all the time, still play them all the time, and just kind of wanted to dip my feet into this creative outlet by chatting with John about John's games, small box games, and that trajectory. But on John's Instagram with, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago, maybe it was, make 2021 or make 2022, something like that. I think it was just a hashtag that he had made up, and it was around the premise of making something. So I'd reached out to John with an earlier iteration of this podcast, and I think I've said it before, but that idea of that initial podcast has changed and twisted and marinated, and I'm really happy that it did because I think this exploration is much more interesting than that initial setup that I had going on. But it was always just kind of in the back of my head of putting it off, or I can't do it because this or whatever. And ultimately, I just wound up doing it, and I couldn't be happier. I mentioned the design stuff. There are plenty of reasons why I haven't. Some legitimate, some just manufactured by me, and that's fine. But when it comes to like solo stuff, if you're wanting to play a game and you think that it might be weird to play a solo game, just give it a go. I think there's plenty of fun in things that you can figure out like doing just kind of like for yourself. So whether that is linked to games, or anything. I feel like some people won't want to go out to eat by themselves because maybe some of the aforementioned stigmas. But this is the kind of the last random personal anecdote. But I was just thinking about the idea of doing things solo. And there have been times where I was supposed to go see a movie with somebody and they just were unable to. So instead of not going, I still just went because I wanted to see the movie. I fell into a little bit of a fandom of Twin Peaks, who this is a while ago. And I just thought it was so, I like that show, but I just thought the idea of, the ideas of cafes and breakfast foods got stuck in my mind. So then I was commuting for college at that point in time. So I would just kind of go to class and or on the way to class or whatever it might have been, head out and found like a random kind of a Americana type of cafe and get a little food, get the pie if they had pie. I always try to order pie. I don't know. I just thought it was like the funniest thing. It was great. I don't know. I like doing it. I didn't see a ton of other people eating by themselves there, but people do it. Just do it. And, I think I mentioned things that are not related to games, and this is not trying to be like preachy, but I just know that a lot of like personal habits, things that I've tried to do or accomplish, there is a bigger list of things that I've want to accomplish and haven't because I haven't instilled this level of procedure to them. But once you get them into your rotation, once you get them consistent, once you get them into your schedule, I think they wind up being harder to get out of the schedule than they would be to fitting it in the first place, or fitting it in at I think you get what I'm saying. So like running, I really love running. And I'm okay. I'm not a super great runner or anything like that, but I just love it. It's one of the things that I schedule. I make sure that I hit particular goals for distances for the week and everything like that. And for me, it'd be harder to function and not do that than it would be to fitting it into my schedule. So, I've talked about balance. That was kind of the main topic last time. And, I know that it's crazy. I talked to all these people who do so much work. They're creating like crazy. And that's why that idea of balance is always stuck in my head because, I think in order to accomplish some things, you have to sacrifice others. And, that's super difficult. But, I also know that there are things that I'm not doing, and I perhaps could be retooling some of my other time a little bit better. And that's not to say that just debriefing and checking out and playing on your phone for a half hour or whatever it might be doesn't have its value. And I'm not trying, again, I'm not trying to be preachy. That's not the point, but this is just kind of the getting it off my chest and putting it out there that, with this show, there are other projects, creative projects that I want to be working on, and I got to hold myself accountable. A couple episodes back with Alicia, we talked about art, and Alicia said, number one advice is to just start doing it. When I had that interview away way back with Nick Murray, one of Nick's main piece of advice is just getting out there, heading out, doing cons, designing the games, reaching out to people. That was Nick's advice, and I know that similar sentiments have been echoed from other people, and I still want to do like my physical art. I mentioned that in the last episode. I mentioned that in the episode with Alicia, and I haven't done it. It's been at least a month since that episode came out. I've actually done a couple sketches, but those were 2-minute sketches. So that is what it is. But whether it's something for yourself, by yourself, this summer solstice, the main thing that I want to focus on is just getting after it, positivity. And if there are things that you want to do and other people cannot do that with you or don't want to do it with you, seeing if it's something that you can feasibly do solo. Okay, so I think I'm going to be pretty close. I think I'm over. But nonetheless, I got one thing to chat about, and that is the giveaway. So for the giveaway for this episode, I have two games. And these are things that are actually kind of linked to things that I was talking about in different ways. So one of the games is Books of Time. So Books of Time is funny because it's a game that I like. Played once. A little fiddly, definitely a multiplayer solitaire game. So going in with the ones that I talked about, learning to play and playing it against myself worked pretty well for that. Got a little bit too tough for me to track a little bit towards the end, especially with front loading the iconography early on. It just kind of it was a thing, but nonetheless, a neat game. Ruel Gaviola, when Ruel and I talked, it was a game that Ruel quite likes, and I can definitely see why. Very cool production. Box is heavy. It's not super big, but it's got some heft to it, and that's holding all of these little clipboard books that you put cards into. So a lot of really neat ideas there. So if you're interested in that. And going along with Books of Time is going to be Sea Salt and Paper. Both these games very lately played. Sea Salt and Paper played once, Books of Time played once. And Sea Salt and Paper, I did the thing where I buy an expansion before really playing the game and have the extra salt expansion in a little package, so completely unplayed. So basically, if you go to the Google form and you fill it out, things that you like about the show, things that you might want to see, anything, like literally whatever you could comment on, people that you might want to see on the show, anything. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that I was going to talk about related to the show's like inner machinations, mechanisms, machinations. Oh, yeah. The speed runs got me going crazy. Speed running, not my strength. Not rambling, also not my strength. But no matter what, if you fill it out and you go to the bottom, there's going to be a question that's going to say, "Do you want Books of Time and Sea Salt and Paper slash Sea Salt and Paper Extra Salt?" I think it's a cool giveaway. Both really, really neat games, and interestingly enough, one of the things I talked about earlier was the TikTok video. My current, well, at this point of recording and point of first ability to listen, the one and only TikTok on the Intertextual Cardboard Experience TikTok page is a little joke skit with Sea Salt and Paper. It's completely ridiculous, intentionally so, but there'll be another one, and that's kind of why I wanted to give it away as well, because both these things have some attachment to the show, and I'm about connections, intertextuality, connections. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Intertextual Cardboard Experience, the most
summary
podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for choosing to spend your time here. Any further support, such as sharing the show with friends, following the page's socials in the episode description, writing a review, filling out the feedback form, or doing anything else you can think of is greatly appreciated. Keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing.